We're in the middle of our, I think it's our fourth or is it our fifth month of Stewards of God's Resources, and we've been talking about justice this month. And we started out 2 weeks ago thinking about justice, that in God's view, justice is not about tit for tat. Justice is not about some kind of an equivalence. In other words, what you know that wonderful old Gilbert and Sullivan, I think it was, song, you know, let the punishment fit the crime. Doesn't work like that with God. God's justice works on the basis that God wants to see the whole world saved, healed, made whole, whatever. God's justice works on that basis, not on the sort of basis that we have in our legal system. Last week I was talking to you about the difference between our legal system and justice, because when we think justice and God's justice, we immediately go to those kind of concepts that are a part of our world around us, and it's inappropriate because the justice of God is not based on what we think we should do with the Westminster system. Now, if you go to court, been charged with doing something wrong. The judge sits up there way above you, and he makes a judgment based on all the logic that's come there. He decides whether or not you're guilty or innocent. He then either acquits you or hands out a punishment. Next case, bang. So the second part of Stewards of God's Justice, and we're expected to act like the God whom we know, is that God isn't like that. God's not remote at all. God is much more like the story of the prodigal son, the heartbroken father who wants with everything he's got just to bring this kid back home and set things right again. He's totally involved. God is not remote. We had this discussion a couple of weeks ago at Faith in Life, our Wednesday night group, and Kate brought up a item out of the newspaper where there's a professor of medicine and he's talking about decisions that people make in medicine, particularly where it's, you know, life in the balance stuff. And his that remark that epitomized everything else he was saying was, you make every decision with tears in your eyes. And it was thinking about that I related back to the address from last week. God's justice is always done with that tears in your eyes type of involvement, passionately wanting, loving, caring. And that never disappears. That is the nature of God. I want to think about God's justice today. If we're stewards of God's justice, I want to think about this in a way that's a little bit challenging, I think, for us. We tend to think that the earth is like a pie. There's only so many bits of it, and those bits need to be distributed, and it's a finite resource. So how do we distribute it? Well, we work out who's deserving and who isn't. If a person works hard, they should get a bit of the pie. If they don't, they shouldn't. If they've got the resources to get more of the pie, then good luck to them. They get more of the pie. We think about justice in terms of what you've earned, what you get back. I want to tell you a story. A long, long time ago, there's a bloke called Jacob. And he's a bit of a skullduggery villain type person. He's managed to cheat his brother out of his birthright, catching him at a very weak moment. He's managed to cheat his brother out of his father's blessing, which back in these days was very, very important. And now he's leaving because he thinks that there's a good chance his brother's going to cheat him out of his life. And he crosses this brook, and as he crosses the brook, he offers a prayer to God. And he says, God, I'm going off on an adventure. Now, if you give me food and clothing and shelter, and you make things go well for me, when I get back here, I'm going to make this a place where I always worship you, and I'll erect a shrine to you here. You see what he's doing? He's bargaining with God. You give me this, I'll give you that. It's a sort of an exchange rate type relationship with God. And off he goes. 20 years later, he's got a wife, or several wives actually. They did that in those days. You know, marriage has never changed, but never mind. And he's coming back across this brook at exactly this place. He's got quite a few herds. He's become quite wealthy in his travels. And he comes to this self-same place and he offers a very different prayer to God. He says to God, I'm coming back. I know my brother's here and I know that he's very powerful. I don't know whether he's going to kill me or not, but I've got to come back. Please help. That's his prayer. He doesn't give God any good reasons. He doesn't try and bargain. He's a much more mature person. He doesn't try and bargain with God. He just says, here's my need, and I lay it before you. Jacob has learnt something about our relationship with God. That story that we read, that story about the people who go out to work in the vineyard, and some of them work all day long, and some of them get picked up from the marketplace at lunchtime and they work through the heat of the afternoon, and some of them come on board at maybe 5 o'clock and they only work for an hour before it's dark, and when they line up for their money, they all get a full day's wages. And you can imagine the ones who've been out there all day saying, hang on, I've been out there all day. I'm hot, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm thirsty. I earned a day's wages, I earned it. And these guys, they've only worked for an hour. What on earth do you think you're doing? The thing about that story is that the people are given not on the basis of what they've earned, but on the basis of what they need. God's economy does not work like a balance sheet, a ledger. God does not operate from the economy of Wall Street or the square mile or the docks. God's economy operates in an entirely different way, because let me tell you another little story. Jesus is having a meal, a big slap-up feast, with a bunch of very important people. He's sitting there doing as they do in the East, lying there on the mats, grape, bit of chicken, something like that, not pork. And a woman comes in. She pours some ointment over his feet. She cries over his feet. She wipes his feet with her hair. And the Pharisees who are there and the other important people, they say, what on earth's going on? This is not right. This, it's just not proper, all this emotional love being poured out over his feet. And what kind of a woman is she anyway? If he knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't let this happen. Maybe he would. And Jesus' comment comes back. The one who's loved much, the one who is forgiven much, loves much. There's a story in there. This woman is forgiven much, not because she's earned it, but because she needs it. And the response of that forgiveness that she's got, that sense of being forgiven, has responded with an overwhelming outpouring of love as if there is no limits. We work from a mental place of thinking about division of scarcity. We're right in the middle of it at the moment with the austerity program of successive governments, aren't we? God works from a basis of overabundant grace. You know the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee up on the roof, don't you? They're up there on the roof, top praying. And the Pharisee, who's been a very good man, he says to God, I do all the things I should do. I fast, I tithe, I give to the poor. I thank you that I'm not like that tax collector over there. And the tax collector, the person who's betrayed his country, worked, collaborated with the invading armies, probably ripped off everybody in the place, says to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, he goes away more justified than the other one. And the reason is, the justice of God works not on what you've earned or what you can command because you've got some bargaining chips, but what you need. Ever you hear a person say, I don't deserve God's mercy, I don't deserve God's forgiveness, beauty, you finally arrived at where you are, at the right place. It's what you need. And let's put those three things together. God works from a basis of overabundance. If you've read the story of the feeding of the 4,000, or the feeding of the 5,000, if you're reading in a different chapter in Mark's gospel, if you don't get what that's about, you might now. It seems like there's nothing there, but there's an overabundance and it's just waiting to be given to those who need it. God works from overabundance, wanting to give to those who know they need. And we're supposed to be stewards of that kind of justice. God is not the remote judge sitting up there passing judgment. God makes judgments like a loving parent makes judgments about his child. What does he need? Elaine picks him up, takes him out. She's going to look after him, make sure he's safe and secure. And you make those judgments with tears in your eyes because you love your child. That's God's judgment. Think about the way we're called to be as God's people and what that means for us in the things we do in our responses to other people around us. Listen. Listen to Zechariah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments. Show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. Listen to Proverbs. Speak out for those who can't speak, for the rights of all the destitute. Speak out. Judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Listen to Jesus. If someone takes your coat, give him your cloak as well. If he makes you walk a mile, go with him too. Give to him who begs and don't refuse. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return. God isn't asking us just to be naively nice. God is calling us through the scriptures for us to emulate in a physical level, just like Jesus emulated at a physical level, the presence of God. That spiritual reality that we understand so much better because Jesus came and lived amongst us and taught and demonstrated. St. Paul says that the grace is a gift of God, not earned. We must not let our stewardship of God's justice be dominated by the economics of Wall Street and Canary Wharf, but by the economics of the overabundant grace of God. It's a matter of faith, not of sums. Faith in amazing grace, not the cold logic of the ledger. And so we're going to sing, "The Kingdom of God is justice and joy, and justice restores what sin would destroy."